Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. For the next hour, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. We'll open the phone lines for your questions in just a moment. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills.
It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. When Charles Dickens penned those words 150 years ago, he wasn't talking about love in the 21st century, but he may as well have been. Falling in love today is, to say the least, a bit complicated. Why? Because in the sin-saturated society in which we live, love is easily and often counterfeited. What looks like love isn't, and what should be considered anything but is heralded as true love. So what's a love seeker to do? Well, to begin with, he or she needs to talk with Dr. Timothy Jennings, and he's right here, ready to discuss this important topic with us today. Dr. Jennings, help us out here. Give us a little primer in what true love, as created by God, is supposed to look like, feel like, and act like.
Love emanates from God, as the Bible tells us God is love. And healthy love, the Bible tells us, is not self-seeking. In other words, love does not seek to gratify self, to promote self, to advance self, to get one's thrills, one's good feelings. Genuine love is a principle and which encompasses our whole being in when it's done in a healthy way, to include our emotions of concern and care and regard for another person more than self. And we experience joy, we experience fulfillment in using our energies to build up another person. And if that person is a healthy, loving person, they receive all that we give them, and that love flows through them back to us or to others in a never-ending circle of beneficence, giving, and care for others.
I can see why that would work in the Garden of Eden, but oh my goodness, Dr. Jennings, this world today preaches a very different sermon. This world today says that to be loved, you need to look a certain way, act a certain way, use a certain product and whatnot. It seems like the world and sin is talking about love from our standpoint, not from someone else's.
Well, of course it is, because that's the way they see the world. The world has bought into an entire lie and distortion that the way we see humanity today is normal. They look at the world today and think how people relate, our natural instincts, what they call natural instincts, are natural or normal. And in fact, they're not. The world is infected with the destructive principle of self-centeredness, egotism, pride, arrogance, selfishness, which is destroying healthy relationships and destroying people. But the world, the educational system, humanism, evolutionary theory, and sadly, far too many Christians look around and teach that this type of thing is normal or the natural way for the world to relate to each other. And so you even have theories of relationships in which, you know, it's a quid pro quo relationship. You do for me and I'll do for you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. It's 50-50 relationship. That is not love. Those are negotiated, self-centered, self-seeking, oriented relationships in which you're constantly evaluating the other person to make sure they're providing their end of the bargain, lest that you provide one millimeter more of something than they provided, and it's no longer fair in that relationship.
You have a section in your book, Could It Be This Simple, called True Love is Not Natural. I think that's what you're talking about. And it's from the very core. We are not naturally people who can fall in love easily. With sin in our lives, it is not something that just flows from us. We have too many barriers in there. So if we ever find true love, we are committing an unnatural act. Is that what you're saying?
Well, even your language, when you said we're not people who fall in love easily, shows how deeply ingrained this concept is, because true love is not something you fall into. Falling in love is the counterfeit. Falling in love is an emotional concept. It's a being swept away by the euphoria of pheromones and dopamine surges in your limbic system and some thrilling experience. That is not love. Love is a principle of conduct. It's a way of living that you don't fall into, that you choose to engage in and to move towards that way in purposeful, healthy, and fulfilling ways. So even the way we speak about that, love is something we do, not something we fall into.
Well, now, I've been married 27 years to my wife, and I love her. But, you know, when I got married to her, I did not go through this line of thought, Dr. Jennings. I did not say any of these things. Is this God's connection? And, you know, do I have all these, do I want to flow to her? And it's, you know, I was attracted to her. I thought she was cute, and I liked being with her, and I was happy, and I married her. What, did I get married under false pretenses?
God designed us to have physical attraction to our special life partner. So the fact that you had those attractions in no way would suggest that there was not healthy love there. With a healthy, loving relationship, you're going to have those attractions, those desires for each other. God designed it that way. It's part of his design protocol. What I'm saying is those desires alone do not constitute love.
Okay, I'm catching on to this thing because I noticed that in my relationship, as the years went by, something went away and something replaced it. Can you explain to me what happened? I mean, I love my wife dearly, but I love her different. Is that a good thing?
It's a maturing thing, and what some, and there's different ways to explain that. Some would tell you that in the beginning there were the euphoria with the high dopamine surges that activated your emotional centers, and it was a very emotional-based relationship in the beginning, that new exciting process. And over the course of time, you came to actually know and appreciate the person for who she is and value her for who she is and care for her more than yourself. And then a more healthy, other-centered love developed over the course of time.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, it's good to know that that love endures, and that's what we're talking about today on our program. I want to open our phone lines now on this subject. Perhaps, listener, you are someone who is about to be married or someone who is struggling with a marriage that is not what you want it to be, and you want to get it back on track. What you're looking for, I think, is love. I think you're looking for true love because you have discovered, if you are having struggles, you've discovered what isn't true love. And we want you to have the true love part. Here's the phone number, 800-775-4673, 800-775-4673. We're going to have a drawing at the end of the program for a copy of Could It Be This Simple, Dr. Jennings' book, A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. Amazing, amazing book. You will want a copy of this. So give us a call right now, 800-775-4673. Let's talk about love. When the Beatles, God bless them, sang their songs back in the 60s, they said, all you need is love. Dr. Jennings, as you have grown up with that song ringing in your ears, what love do you think they were talking about?
I'm not sure what the Beatles were talking about. If you take it from the biblical model, all you need is love. That's true. Love. Paul says in Romans that love is the fulfillment of the law. When there is love, that love does no harm. Jesus said that love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and neighbor as yourself. All the law hangs on these two. So if it's the right love and not a counterfeit love, that song is right. If, however, they were talking about a counterfeit love, a more passion-based, lust-based, physical, what we might call an erotic love, an eros erotic love, then that would not be true. That's not going to fulfill. It's not going to heal. In fact, that's going to be damaging over the course of time. If they're talking about some of the other counterfeits to love, like dependency, one of the major counterfeits to love that many people are involved in and think it's actually love, then that would not be healthy either. That would be damaging. So depending on how you define love in the song, it could be very true.
All right. Well, we're going to find out a little bit more about this dependency. You spend several pages in your book, Could It Be This Simple, on this, and you call it a major counterfeit to love. And I thought that's what you need to have. You need to be dependent on your spouse, dependent on the someone you love for your happiness. So we're going to find out the truth behind that error when we return. Again, our phone lines are open. We're going to have a drawing for Could It Be This Simple at the end of the program. To get your name in there, you need to give us a call, come on the air, and chat with Dr. Jennings. He has wonderful answers for your questions today. 800-775-4673. We'll be right back, so stay tuned.
You Here's Dr. James Markham with your daily heartbeat.
One of the best biblical treatments is a treatment called love. Did you know that love is actually a treatment for the body? We're told in the scriptures that God is love. Well, science proves this. We know that people that have dogs and cats and animals, they do better. Less heart attacks, less strokes, less infections. Well, it's nothing about that animal's barking, or it's nothing about the meowing or looking at a pretty goldfish. No, it's about the love that's exchanged that improves our body's chemistry. As we get back to the owner's manual and understand love more and understand God more, our chemistry changes. We become like that we were designed to be. So try to find more love in your life today and work on love as a treatment.
If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Welcome to Happy Hank's Hamburger Heaven. May I take your order?
Let me have a double cheeseburger, no onions, medium fries, and a Diet Sprite. Plus, I'm lost. I need some directions if you can help me.
Thank you. That's a double cheeseburger minus the onions, medium fries, Diet Sprite, and enrollment in the Discover Bible Course.
I'm sorry, what?
The Discover Bible Course. You said you wanted directions in life.
No, just to the 101 freeway.
I know. But this is even better. With the Discover Bible Course, you'll know where you're going for eternity. You'll never be lost again. You'll drive down the freeway with a whole new purpose in life.
Okay, I'll try it.
That comes to $4.72 for the food. The Discover Bible Course is free. Please pay at the window.
Thanks.
For your own set of personal directions to eternal life, call 800-775-4673.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. Timothy Jennings. We're talking about healthy love in an unhealthy society today. What can we do to try to find, maintain, re-energize true love in our lives? Not the counterfeits. We're talking about some counterfeits today as well, but we want true love because true love is the one that we take to heaven with us. Amazing, amazing. From God to God. Phone lines are open, 800-775-4673. We'll take a drawing for Could It Be This Simple at the end of the program. Let's go to Michigan and talk to Bob. Hey, Bob, how can we help you today?
Well, I'm not sure you can help me. I just, it's a clarification of understanding of what and where principles depart in true love. I believe that love is a decision, not a feeling, number one. And out of our decisions, I think principles are part of the relationship of being in love. There's parameters on which or boundaries that are our principles, but I don't feel that the primary issue of principles, I believe that in a healthy relationship, they fall in line because of being able to listen to our partner and love them. We are able to listen to them and meet their expectations, and that sets up the principles of the relationship in love.
Dr. Jennings, what it sounds like he's saying is that we're a little bit too emotional in our search for love. Is he onto something here?
There's no question about it that emotions are always a part of a loving experience, but they're not to be the determining factor in love. In fact, the Bible teaches that that love is the word used as principle. We could also use the word law. And when we talk about laws or principles, we're talking about things like law of gravity, law of thermodynamics, constants upon which things function or run. The law of love is one of those things, and it emanates from God's personhood. God is love. And the Bible tells us this love is not self-seeking, and if it's not seeking self, then it's seeking others. And Paul goes on to tell us in Romans 1:20 that all creation was we can see in creation God's divine nature of love. And so What that tells us is even in the inanimate world, this principle of other-centered giving is the law upon which life is constructed to operate. Now, just in a quick example, every breath that we breathe, we freely give away carbon dioxide to the plants who give back oxygen to us. A design template on how life is constructed, free giving as easy as it is to breathe. And that's how love was designed to work in our hearts, that we give of ourselves freely to the uplift and benefit other people. However, we became infected with the principle of fear and self-centeredness, and we don't naturally give now. Our inherent desire is to take, to seek for self. The problem with seeking for self, however, is it destroys. It would be like hoarding your carbon dioxide and refusing to give away any carbon dioxide. What happens is you first become stuporous and then you die. And that's what happens when we refuse to give of ourselves to benefit others. Our hearts become hardened. We become more fear-ridden. We become more insecure. We damage our relationships, our families, and ultimately ourselves. So I think the caller is right that the principle is an other-centered principle where we grow in grace, learning how to give of ourselves for others. And this can be an intelligent process, a choice, but it also ultimately pervades our whole being, and our hearts are caught up with it, and we love and actually have emotional joy in doing this.
Bob, let me ask you a question, as long as I have on the line. Are you still with us, Bob?
Yes.
Yeah, Bob, let me ask you a question. You said that love is a decision, and it really is not motivated by emotions. An emotionless...
Well, there are,
go ahead, Bob.
12 different steps to a relationship, and you have the gift of attraction.
Yeah.
Number one, and then the friendships, and then it grows from there. I believe that when I've been married for 36 years, and in my first part of my marriage, my first 20 years of my marriage, it was all me, and the reason for that is because I had a covenant with my wife. I had a conviction. I felt, and I knew that divorce was imminent. So, because of family of origin, the principles, and everything like that. So, a crisis came along, and I decided that the relationship was worth more than the conflict. I made the change. I received some information for understanding the behavior. And now, I have a covenant with my wife, and out of my covenant comes and my desire to meet the emotional needs, and I meet her needs. I have become the priest of my family instead of a kingship. And also in the principles of healthy relationship, or let's call it a mature relationship, are non-self-seeking. And, you know, we can find that in 1 Corinthians 13.
Yeah. It sounds to me like this is a much healthier move from one of seeking to get the kingship is a lording over and a ruling over metaphor of a relationship where you control another person to make sure they're serving you and providing you the services that you need in order to sustain your kingship. Whereas the priest metaphor is one where you are a minister to minister from yourself to give to another person. So you've moved your relationship one from seeking to take and get to one of giving to of yourself for another, which would be a moving away from our inherent self-centeredness towards the godly giving to another. The Christian perspective would tell us that in our own strength, in our own ability, we cannot make a decision to do that in our own strength. We receive the love from God, Romans 5:5. It says he pours his love into our hearts, and we can make the decision to receive God's love and then be a conduit of his love to others, but we can't, in force of will, simply change ourselves from selfish beings to loving beings, but we can choose to cooperate with God for that transformation and remove ourselves in God's grace to be loving priests of our home. So I like your metaphor.
Really, absolutely.
Amen.
Well, Bob, thank you very much for sharing that with us. That is excellent, okay?
I appreciate your little bit of time. I teach men how to become the priest of their family instead of the king, because I know that in my Bible, David said that he'll teach the transgressors their ways, and the reason for that is because we can't share what we don't have.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. Well said.
Very good, Bob. Thank you so much for your call today. Okay, 800-775-4673. He had some good things. I like he moved from the word decision to the word desire. I like that. I was hoping he would do that. He moved from his love being a decision to his love being a desire. Now, I know, Dr. Jennings, you're saying that desire is emotion-based, but come on, you can't have a love relationship without some kind of emotions in there, Dr. Jennings?
No. What he is correct. When you recognize the destructiveness of fear and insecurity and selfishness, trying to control and always trying to demand and trying to get, and always living in fear of whether you're going to be cared for or not cared for, and you realize how futile and miserable that is, and you make the decision to say, God, I surrender my life to you. I want to be a loving person. And I'm going to choose to move myself in that way, the desires don't instantly change. But through God's grace, as you make those choices to go against the inherent habit patterns of relating, to stand up to your fears and insecurities and say, you know what, I'm insecure, but instead of giving into it this time, I'm going to give to somebody else rather than seeking to get mine. I'm going to wait and let somebody else go first. I'm going to put somebody else before me today. Then over the course of time, as these healthy neural circuits of other-centered love grow, as we spend more time in a relationship with Christ, then transforming processes take place where there is a change in desire. And rather than having the desires of fear and insecurity control us, we actually have desires of peace and well-being and concern for others come along. So there is a choice that is made, a purposeful choice that's made day in, day out, but that choice results in transformation both of character and neural circuitry that changes the way we feel and the way we desire over time.
And you're talking about neural circuitry here. We're talking about a physical change in our brain, right?
That's exactly right.
Wow.
The brain rewires
itself.
Healthy, loving, altruistic circuits grow stronger as we practice that, as we spend time in a relationship with a loving God. Conversely, if we don't practice loving others, or we spend time in a relationship with a punitive and a punishing God, the loving circuits of the brain grow weaker and the fear circuits grow stronger.
I don't know about you, listener, but I find great joy in the fact that when we change our behavior, when we study the Bible, when we listen to programs like Simple Solutions, and we listen to Dr. Timothy Jennings, and when we start putting some of these simple solutions into practice, we are actually rewiring ourselves. This is something that will become easier, I assume, as we rewire ourselves. He says our desires will actually change. We make the decision, and then the desires will actually change, rewiring. I know, Dr. Jennings, when I make a good decision, I think I just made a connection in my brain that's there, and I want to maintain that connection. I think of it as a physical change, and I love that. 800-775-4673. I'm a touchy-feely kind of guy. I need to visualize things, and that's what I visualize. 800-775-4673. Time to rewire your brain, listener. Time for us to change the way we think so that we can think better and easier in the years to come. If you have a question or comment, we'd like to hear from you. Here's the number again, 800-775-4673. We have a break coming up here, and let's start the discussion now as we go into this break. Dependency. You say that's real poison to a relationship, Dr. Jennings. Give us a little bit of a hint of why dependency and what you're talking about in dependency is so destructive to a God-given true love.
Because dependency is always based on fear and insecurity rather than on love and security and trust. Dependency relationships are, I need the other person to provide for me some sustenance of an emotional kind that will increase my sense of peace, well-being, wholeness, these types of things that I'm seeking to get from another person rather than seeking to give of myself to that person. So it's a relationship based on a clinging, self-centered need, not on mutual love and respect. And it occurs when we focus on getting selfish needs met rather than giving to other people.
Well, I want to ask you about this on the other side of the break. It would seem to me, Dr. Jennings, that there has to be some of that, because I know that in my relationship with my wife, if I ever even imagine that I'm no longer with her, if she has an accident or something, I don't know if I could go on because I depend on her. I need her so much to live my life. Am I heading in the wrong direction? Let's find out when we come back. 800-775-4673. We have a copy of Could It Be This Simple? A drawing for that book at the end of the program for our callers today. Let's talk about dependency. Maybe it is good, maybe it's bad, but maybe it can be better than it is. What are we looking for here? 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
I don't know about you, but my prayer time is in direct proportion to what I have on my to-do list.
You may be tempted to think that time alone with God, time spent waiting on the Lord, doesn't accomplish much. But you couldn't be more wrong. This is Elizabeth George for A Woman After God's Own Heart. After all, no one sees your prayer time. There's no glory, no splash, no notice, nothing to measure or count. Yet time regularly spent with God bears fruit that can be grown only in the shade of His presence. Henry Drummond, a 19th century Scottish lecturer, said, "Talent develops itself in solitude. The talent of prayer, of faith, of meditation, of seeing the unseen. Do you want this kind of prayer life? Then begin today to seek the solitude that comes in quiet times before the Lord." This is Elizabeth George.
It's the domain of legends. Men capable of causing a whole country to hold its breath while waiting for that one smooth motion of a wrist, and an entire nation strains its eyes, each one urging that little white ball on until it's going, going, gone. Now imagine these living myths, these faces in which you know every line, every wrinkle, as sure as you can list their average from last year. And now they're all turned to you, expectant.
This bat's yours, right?
Yeah, kid, that's the one.
To a child with a life-threatening illness, being a bat boy for his favorite team wasn't the end of all his youthful hopes. It was the beginning of them. Visit the Make-A-Wish Foundation at wish.org and share the power of a wish.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Charles Mills here with Dr. Jennings. We're talking about love today, true love, and we're trying to discover what it is and how we can apply it to the love we have for our spouses, maybe for our spouse-to-be, for the relationships we have in our hearts. We want to make sure that that love is based on the God-given love, because like I said before, that is the love that lasts. That's the love that gets us through clear to the kingdom of God. Our phone lines are open for your questions and comments on this topic or whatever topic you want to talk about. 800-775-4673. Let's go and talk with Lorraine about this. Lorraine, what's on your heart today?
Okay, I'm married, been married for 32 years. I'm married to someone who has Asperger's syndrome. We did not know that it existed but it explains his inability to be sociable and his lack of desire for intimacy. And over the years, I have grown very cold and really have no interest. But because of all the stress that I've encountered, I have become disabled and cannot work. As a result, I am dependent on him for financial sustenance. And I feel that I'm stuck, and I don't know what to do.
Yeah. First off, when I talk about dependency, I'm not talking about financial dependency. I'm not talking about dependency of having your food and shelter and that type of stuff. That's not the dependency we're talking about as a counterfeit to love. We're talking about an emotional dependency, an internal dependency in which your internal needs of wholeness as a human being, your sense of well-being, your sense of completeness as a human being, your ability to maintain a healthy balance within your own heart and mind is completely dependent upon another human being, that human being isn't giving you affirmation, if they're not praising you, if they're not patting you on the back, giving you the attaboys, if you're not getting that from them, then your internal world crashes into the depths of despair and discouragement, and you feel unloved, and you feel lonely, and you feel devalued, and you constantly seek from others to constantly sustain you with this never-ending flow of affirmation, and it can be direct or it can be indirect. Some people get this without the words being said. They get it through behavior rather than the words of affirmation coming, but still, they're depending on some other person to provide them an internal sense of well-being. So we're not talking about primarily the aspect of you have a situation where you depend on somebody to provide for your financial welfare. That's not what we're primarily talking about here.
But I'm hearing in Lorraine's voice a frustration here, Dr. Jennings, that she is not happy with the fact that she's dependent on her husband financially. Am I right? Am I right, Lorraine?
Yes.
Okay. Should she be happy? Is it possible to be happy, or should she be feeling the way she's feeling on this, Dr. Jennings?
Her unhappiness seems to me is not because she's dependent on her husband financially. It's because she's with somebody who hasn't been able to affirm her or love her throughout her life, and she's had years of hurt feelings building up in her heart, feelings of rejection, abandonment, and has never been able to really feel valued as a human being, that has built a huge sense of resentment. And I think she has some issues with herself for having stayed in a relationship that she had no hope would ever improve, and found herself in this disabling position of dependency. And so she has, I think, a lot of unhappiness for reasons that have to do more with just financial dependency.
Lorraine, okay. Are we on the right track here?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, okay. All right. Don't go away, Lorraine. Stay right where. Hold on just a minute. We're not done with you yet. Hold on just a minute. Just a little bit longer. Dr. Jennings, this woman is, you've identified the problem. What are some of the things she can do to help this problem?
Well, first she's going to have to work through her resentment and hurt feelings that she has accumulated over the years in relation to her husband. I hope, Lorraine, you have some insight into the fact that your husband's Asperger's syndrome impairs his ability. He just doesn't have the capacity. It'd be like marrying a blind person and then finding yourself frustrated that he can't share the beauty of the sunset that you see each night, and he can't enjoy that with you, and you're frustrated that he can't appreciate those beautiful colors and so forth. Well, he never will be able to because he doesn't have the ability. He's blind. In the like manner, people with Asperger's syndrome have significant biologic impairments in their ability to connect emotionally with people. They're in many ways socially and emotionally blind to the normal relational cues of relationships. They just don't see them. They're not there for them to see. Having that insight would be helpful to you, and be able to be gracious and not take personally the lack of emotional tenderness that would be missing in your relationship. With that perspective, then moving forward and trying to build some affirmation and relational connectedness in some friendships or other family members would be a place to pursue some of those types of contacts. But and then working through the hurts, resentments, extending grace and forgiveness, and also coming to peace with your own circumstance would be the areas that you would need to work on. And I would suggest maybe getting in with a counselor to do that.
Thank you.
Lorraine, is this something you want to do? Is this something that you would like to do?
I've been doing it.
You've been talking to people about this?
I've been getting counseling, and I think it's just because of the time involved, and I'm getting older. And like he says, I've got all this pain, and I do try to reach out to friends, but it's kind of hard when finances are so tight. That's probably why I haven't taken seriously, you know, leaving.
Well, I hear something else you said, Lorraine. You said, I'm getting older, which suggests to me that somehow that you've been holding back some hope that somehow this is going to change. And as you're getting older, you're losing hope that you'll ever have a different style or different type of relationship in which you can experience the emotional bonding that you would like. And so part of your healing is going to have to come to terms with this. If you've held out this hope, maybe one day it'll change. Maybe one day it'll change. I'm getting older now. Part of this might be that you're grieving because you're realizing you're not going to have that, at least not with this man. And it doesn't sound like you're going to leave this man. And I'm not suggesting that you should. But there's this hope aspect here that I think that you might be grieving that you're going to have to process through with your therapist.
Okay.
All right, Lorraine. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, Lorraine. Well, you know, I can see why it would be frustrating to you, Dr. Jennings. You want to crawl inside her mind and make some adjustments there and help her out. If there are others listening right now who have found themselves in relationships that they didn't sign up for, this was not what they said I do to. After they get married, they thought they had found true love, and suddenly there is this change brought about either by circumstances or by medical problems that come on, that suddenly this partner, the spouse that they loved, is a very, very different person. Dr. Jennings, how do you make the adjustment in the love that you have for one person to become a love for another person that happens to be the same person? Am I making sense here?
Kind of, but the question is so broad and so vast and circumstances are so different that I would be reluctant to want to give an answer because whoever's listening, every circumstance is different and no one answer is going to be appropriate for all the people listening. And I wouldn't want some to hear what I have to say is applicable to their situation when it's not. Every one of us are constantly changing, all of us. I mean, this is the nature of the way we're designed. We are in constant flux. Our brains are constantly changing. The behaviors we engage in, the things we watch, the choices we make, the worship that we engage in, all these things are reacting upon us and changing us either for health and maturity or for destruction. And so we're all in a constant state of flux. Now, sometimes something can happen to make a major change, like an accident where somebody has brain damage or an illness. You brought those up. If we use the example of Asperger syndrome, that is more along the lines of, hey, after I was married, I realized something that was already there. I didn't maybe fully appreciate the significance before. No major changes happened. It's other than my awareness and my realization. That can happen as well. And sometimes people are actually duped. People get into relationships, and in the dating process, somebody presents themselves with a persona as being one person. And in the marriage, they find out they're completely different than what they were led to believe. And there's this sense of betrayal. And you lied to me, and you put on that you were this, and we were going to do these things. And now that we're married, you're not what you pretended to be. So there's lots of different reasons why people can find themselves in a relationship in which some sudden change has happened on the other side of marriage. And I would say each person must evaluate those circumstances based on the evidences of what is being revealed to them by their partner. And based on those evidences, make intelligent decisions using God's principles about what the healthiest course they need to take for their life from that point forward.
I guess my question is this, Dr. Jennings, isn't true love flexible enough to go with the flow, to accept the change in that person? If in the case of our caller, who her husband just changed, if she had true love in her heart, I'm saying she did, but if she had true love in her heart, we're talking about today, shouldn't that true love be flexible enough to accept that change and go on?
Multiple points here. Number one, he didn't change. He was the same afterwards. Asperger syndrome is not a change. So in her case, that was not a change that transpired. Asperger syndrome is a constant. It's just like being blind. She may not have been aware of it fully and appreciated it, but it wasn't that after the marriage he suddenly changed. Two, you said when there is a change, shouldn't true love be enough to sustain that? I would refer you to the example of God and Lucifer. Lucifer changed. Shouldn't God's true love been enough to sustain that relationship? And God should have never thrown him out of heaven and should have just accepted him and let him stay there because God has true love that's perfect, and that should have been enough.
Okay, we're learning stuff today here. 800-775-4673. I enjoy talking to this man every week very, very much, and I hope, listener, that you are enjoying hearing what he has to say. 800-775-4673. By the way, I want to invite you, listener, to stop over at Dr. Jennings' website. That's www.comeandreason.com. Come and Reason, like the Bible says to do, comeandreason.com. And you can post there a question for this program. When you go to the website, there'll be a little link there that says you can also email your questions to radio@commonreason.com. Just click on that, and your email program will open up, and you can send a question in, and we will ask that question right here on the air week after week on this program. So you can do that. We would like for you to do that. 800-775-4673 is our phone number here, and it's www.commonreason.com. All right. Okay. We're coming up to the last quarter of our program. We have a break coming up. Dr. Jennings, we talked a little bit about dependency, and I'm beginning to understand that the dependency is not talking about who's going to fix my food so I stay healthy, who's going to be my companion so I can go for walks along the beach. We're talking about who is going to be there to emotionally support me, and there's the problem. If we can't be ourselves, if we can't be happy without that other person there, we can be happy with that person there, but if we can't be happy with that person not there, we have a problem of dependency. 800-775-4673. Be right back.
Is your life stuck in fast forward? Are you doing more and enjoying less? Do you feel stressed out and tired?
If so, help is here. Speaker, pastor, and author Carl Hafner points the way to relief for the stressed out, worn out, and burned out. With humor and wisdom, Carl Hafner shows in his new book, Soul Matters, that it's possible to live a sane and balanced life in a world gone mad. But there's a catch. You must learn to cheat the lesser gods and clamor for your attention in order to honor the one true God. Find rest for your weary soul. Pick up a copy of Carl Hafner's book, Soul Matters, today. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
Canned vegetables. Hey, Duncan, get over here. Need you to stay with me and your brother, okay? Well, closer. Come on, help me out here, buddy. Excuse me. Duncan, you're blocking me out.
I want some bologna.
Not today.
I need water.
Sorry. Duncan!
I want to put the number thing.
Too bad.
Mommy would let me.
Okay, well, she's not here, okay? She's gone, and she's not coming back, and you're just going to have to deal with it like the rest of us, okay? Duncan.
On May 29th, Michelle Jimenez was killed by a drunk driver. She left behind her husband and four children. Drinking and driving is a crime that kills abruptly, but the pain lasts forever. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. Timothy Jennings, Christian author and psychiatrist, and we're talking about love today. I mean, this is something we all want to enjoy. We all want to have in our hearts and in our lives, but there are so many counterfeits. We could do a whole show on some of the other counterfeits, and maybe we will coming down the pike. If you have a question or comment, here's the number, 800-775-4673. Also, the website, www.comeandreason.com. You can leave your questions there. And speaking of the website, Dr. Jennings, there was a question that came in recently about from a mother who says her daughter wants to marry this guy. And this guy is, I can only assume, is a very controlling guy. He wants to rule over her. He wants to be the boss and to control every aspect of her life. Is this something that she should be aware of and be wary of?
Absolutely be wary of, you bet, because this is not love. This would be an example of a form of dependency. People who want to do this, men who want to do this, have extreme insecurity in themselves, and they need someone to control in order for them to feel empowered, to feel powerful, to feel manly. And so their sense of manliness is not necessarily achieved from the woman doting on them and giving them attaboys, but it's achieved through her constant surrender to his control, where he feels this empowerment and authority over. This is not love in any sense of the imagination, and the woman has a God-given responsibility to resist all such things. When the Bible talks about submitting one to another, in the context of Ephesians, the context there is that husbands are to treat wives like Christ treats the church. And how did Christ treat the church? He constantly gave of himself, ultimately giving his life for the church. And so I tell wives, what you are to submit to from your husbands are Christ-like treatment from your husbands, not authoritarian rule, but self-sacrificing love. That is the treatment that a wife is to submit to. And I've got to tell you, so far I've never met a woman who had a problem submitting to self-sacrificial love from their husbands.
Absolutely. Well, how about these women who say, you know, my husband beats me, but, you know, God wants me to convert him, or God wants me to stay here and take this because he wants to work through me to help my husband. What do you say to those people?
I would say, first off, that if you love him, this is where the principle of love comes through. Oftentimes, the women in those relationships are in dependency relationships of their own. They live in fear of abandonment, fear of being alone, fear of who's going to take care of them, fear of not being loved. And so they stay in these abusive relationships, not because they love their husbands. They actually play a trick on themselves and tell themselves that I stay for love. But in reality, the true real reason is they stay for fear because they're afraid to step out on their own. It's terrifying for them to go out on their own. If they actually loved their husbands, then they would be more concerned for their husband's eternal salvation and security than their own sense of well-being and staying. And by staying in a relationship in which you're being beaten by your husband, you're staying as tacit approval that endorses the abusive behavior and says to your husband, what you're doing is okay. Now, the problem with that is the nature of sin. When we sin against someone, no matter what the sin is, it always damages the sinner. It sears the conscience. It warps the reason. It perverts the character. It moves us further and further away from godliness. And the longer we persist in sin, the more deeply the damage, the more seared the conscience becomes, and the harder and harder it is for the person to ever experience salvation. And it doesn't matter whether the person goes to church every week or not. There are many unsaved people in church.
Yeah.
And so if you love the spouse that is beating you, you recognize this reality and you say, I cannot go along with this because this colludes with your eternal destruction and loss. I love you too much. So the answer is, I'm leaving until such time that I am convinced that you have had a change of heart and character. You have died to self. And that you love me more than you love yourself. And that's another aspect of love. The husband who beats his wife does not love his wife. He loves himself. Okay? And until he has died to self, he's not safe to live with if he's a man who beats his wife. Now, there's an example for this, and similar in the Bible, this dying Peter in the upper room right before the crucifixion, as Jesus is telling about the upcoming betrayal, Peter says, all the others might leave you, Lord, but I'm going to stay with you. I'll stick with you. I'll even give my life. I'm not going to turn my back on you. Now, when Peter says this to Jesus, was Peter knowingly lying to Jesus?
No, he wasn't at that time.
No, he meant every word of it. Yeah. He absolutely was sincere. So sincerity, and this is where a lot of people get mixed up. After a beating, the husband might come back with sincerity. I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again. Just like Peter, I'll never do it again. Jesus was not duped by the sincerity. He knew the issue. And then did Peter love Jesus?
Yes.
Yes, he did. But then if he loved Jesus and he was being sincere, then why, when the pressure was on, did he deny Jesus? Why?
He loved himself more than he loved Jesus.
Bingo, you nailed it. Even though he loved Jesus, he still loved self more. And sometimes we can be in a relationship where we love somebody, but we have not loved them more than ourselves. And as long as we still love self first, when push comes to shove, we will sacrifice the other person to gratify ourselves. We'll deny them. We'll exploit them. We'll take advantage of them. We'll put them down, but we won't sacrifice ourselves for the other person. And it was after Peter's denial that he was broken in heart. He died to self, and he was converted. Remember, Jesus said in the upper room, when you're converted, feed my sheep. Even though he'd been with Jesus 3.5 years, even though he'd performed miracles, even though he loved Jesus, he was still not converted because he had not yet died to self, and he still loved self more than Jesus. And that is a basis for actually healthy human relationships. Until we die to self and love Christ more than self, we can't love another human being more than ourselves. And so relationships that still have self number one are always going to have these struggles of dependency, these struggles of fear, these struggles of insecurity, these struggles of taking advantage of somebody else. And it's when we die to self, experience that regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, we love God more than self, that we're enabled to actually love others more than ourselves.
We are talking about true love today, and we are learning lessons that I think will help all of us in our relationship with our spouses, with our children, with our church, with our boss, with our coworkers, with our neighbor. True love is others-oriented, not self-oriented. In the closing moments of this program, Dr. Jennings, I keep hearing our previous caller saying how she felt trapped in this relationship. And she admitted that she was going to counselors and they were talking to her, and I'm sure they were giving her good advice, just as you are today, but she hadn't found the answer. Dr. Jennings, in your opinion, from what you know about this, it sounds like she's looking for an answer that no one's giving her, and that answer may be a wrong answer. Am I right on the right track here?
No, she's looking for an answer that she
wants to accept.
I mean, yes.
She's not accepting the answer she's hearing.
I think there's that when people find themselves in traps like this, it's because the answer that brings healing requires some discomfort, some pain that people are not willing to go through. And so they avoid the pain of what's healthy and stay in the misery of their trap situation. A metaphor would be somebody who has had a broken leg and now it's time to go to physical therapy. And they say, I'm willing to do the therapy as soon as it doesn't hurt. I'm willing to make these choices as soon as there's no pain or discomfort involved. Well, look at the pain and discomfort there was for Peter for his conversion. Yeah. We really can't have victory over self, be free from fear and selfishness without going through. And I think we mentioned this last week, that the 23rd Psalm, the valley of the shadow of death. Yeah. And that valley of the shadow of death is not the valley of death. It's the Lord leads us in the paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's leading us to the place where we will experience righteousness. But that place takes us through a valley in which it feels oftentimes like we're going to die, because we're dying to the old way, dying to the sinful man, dying to self. But his rod and staff is there comforting us, and we get anointed with our heads are anointed with oil. The Holy Spirit is there to regenerate and recreate us. But we have to be willing to stick in trust with Christ through that emotionally painful time. And if we're not willing to do that, then we keep turning back, and the Lord, and we turn back and say, Lord, help me. And he keeps leading us to this valley, but we keep turning back and we don't go through it, and we stay trapped because we won't go through the valley that leads us to freedom.
I know, as you sit across from people day after day in your practice, Dr. Jennings, you probably come across this a lot. People just don't want to take that plunge. They don't want to take that next step because it's going to hurt. In your experience, as you deal with these people, have they come back to you later and say, you know, Dr. Jennings, it was worth it by taking that step, by going through that physical therapy? I'm trying to bring encouragement to people who are at that point in their lives, Doctor, who are saying, I don't want to do that because it's going to hurt. Is it worth the trip? Is it worth the step?
What they have to realize, yes, of course, the answer is yes. Everyone that actually goes through it experiences that healing. What they have to realize is they're already in pain. They're not going to avoid pain. Pain is inevitable. Misery is optional. And so the person in this trap situation is in misery. They're suffering. They're in pain. They don't have an option to make a choice that will avoid pain. You can't avoid pain on earth. But you can take choices that, with God's grace, those painful experiences bring strength and healing and brings us freedom from the pain. So that's their only choice. Do I make the choices so that through this valley, through this painful experience, that I grow stronger, I grow more mature, I grow more Christ-like, and I free myself from this entrapment that I've been in for so long? That's the choice we have.
Dr. Jennings, would you pray right now for people who may be in that valley this moment? Would you pray for them, please?
Dear Father in heaven, we pray that you will give wisdom to these people who are struggling, that they will find your truth, your methods, and experience your love to bring them the courage and strength they need to make the choices to free themselves and experience your healing. We pray in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Lorraine from Michigan, we have a copy of Could It Be This Simple to send to you. Dr. Jennings will actually sign his name on it, and it'll be off to you. You're the winner of our drawing today. Appreciate your call. And Bob, thank you very much. Also from, we've heard from Michigan twice today. Thank you very much, Michigan, for calling us today. We appreciate that. Next week, when life doesn't add up, facing financial downturns. Ooh, anybody out there facing financial downturns? Join us again next week at the same time. Until then, this is Charles Mills with Dr. Timothy Jennings, inviting you to apply the simple solutions God placed in your heart today. Goodbye, everyone.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.